Hey, fam. You wanna, like, get dinner or something? Maybe tonight, you know? Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet!
Good evening, one. Good evening, all. And welcome to another Pureinish Podcast. This is Pureinish Podcast number 12, recorded live on Monday, the 7th of November, 2005. I'm your host, as always, Kashmir Z. What's all the goss for this week? Well, we have the winner of the Pureinish sticker contest announced, talk about the Pureinish frapper, Wyman gets member of the month, would you believe, new rules on the forums, and lot to talk about Lost Coast, the CNC 12-pack deal, and some new CSS updates, plus so much more you could kill a small animal. So let's get this motherfucking show on the road. Alright, and here we are at another Pureinish Podcast. This is Pureinish Podcast number 12. Now, here, as a new host, we have D3NA, otherwise likes to call himself Denner. How you going, man?
Yeah, a little bit here, a little bit there.
But all together in the same place, eh? Alright, well, anyway, moving along, we've got Denali here also.
People touch me.
Yeah, he almost sounds like Ion, but then he doesn't. And we have another newly acquainted friend of mine, Hagios. Hagios, how are you going?
Kashmir made me do this. I didn't have a choice about it.
Oh, no. That's not nice. That's not nice at all. All right. Well, now that we're here...
Was I not supposed to say that part?
Shh. If you want your money by the end of the day, you will do what I tell you. All right. Well, what have we got in the way of Pureinish news for you this evening? Well, as you know, there was a sticker contest, right? There was a sticker contest, and lots of people entered that. There were lots of great entries put in. But the winner of that sticker contest has been announced, and that's Xeno101. Ozzy, unfortunately, he's a fucktard, but he won nonetheless. What do you guys reckon about that?
Well, he hasn't done anything bad to me, so I can't really say. It's a really good sticker. I'll probably get myself a couple.
Love the sticker, hate the user.
That's pretty much the
great
same.
Great design, I'll probably be buying some myself.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's good that they're starting to make the stickers, but I mean, where's the Jeremy stickers? You know, come on, like, why was Doug first? I actually wonder that myself.
Well, I think they're just money-making, really. They're just doing what's best for them at the moment. Soon they'll probably have a Jeremy sticker out. Interesting insert from Sprite saying... and here that says, I think Denali owns him, which is kind of true when it comes to the whole fact of Xeno101 being a fucker.
Yes, indeed. Also in other Pureinish news, the Frapper has actually been added to the main page now, and so many people have added themselves to the Frapper. We actually had a bit of a laugh about some of the fake photos which have been put on the Frapper, but yeah.
I like it, but I just kind of, I typed in the right place where I live and it then said where I live in like a completely different state and everything. Not cool.
I think it's a really good idea.
I think it's good too. It didn't like where I lived either. I just said Sydney because it wouldn't go any more discreet than that. But I mean, there's so many people on there now. I think we'd go close to having one of the biggest frappers at the moment.
Well, it said where I lived and fine. It said Torquay, Victoria, Australia. But then when it looked there on the map, it said I was in Fraser Island or some bullcrap like that. I'm like, what the fuck? It's not cool.
I'm gonna sift through all the people on the frapper and have a gander, but it's gonna take quite a long time. There seriously is. What are you up to? It's nearly at 1,000, isn't it?
I actually looked through every single picture. It was quite funny.
Wow, someone's got like way too much free time, right?
Yeah.
For those who had a gander at the main page a while ago, it's actually changed since. They were asking for, Pureinish was asking for two Asian girls that were obviously going to be involved in the film. Now, that date's come and gone, which suggests that the filming has been done, right? Any theories or, you know, guesses on maybe what they would have been used for?
Well, basically, we've all listened to voice chat one, right, where he says that episode 8 has been filmed and then episode 9, for all he knows, could be a porno. Well, you know, he said it might be a very well-directed porno, but I don't know how that'll go down.
Bow, 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 bow. Moving on to some forum news, I guess you could say. Now, Wyman's got Member of the Month, right? Now, not many people have liked that, but I mean, Wyman's been around for, like, you know, forever. I mean, Wyman's always there on the forums, that's for damn sure. And I mean,
Wyman
although...
is the forums.
Wyman is the forums, yeah. But, I mean, back in the day, when I first started going on the Pure Inch forums, Wyman did used to post a lot of spam. But honestly, it's not so bad now. Like, I mean, he contributes, and he's always on there, and he's always posting, like, something useful. So I think he is actually well-deserving of the Member of the Month.
Yeah, I personally thought he was going to be mentioned in Episode 8, along with all the others.
Well, if you look on the Frapper, he's actually spammed on there as well. He's got four inputs.
Getting back to forum news, I like his avatar, which with his copy of Jeremy in episode 2 with the question about would you date this guy.
Yeah, I had a quiet chuckle to myself when I first saw that also. It's very clever.
I like his shoes.
Indeed. But for those who don't check the announcements section on the forum, you might not know that some rules have been changed. Zai mentions not seeing it up as always, not really. Anyway, the forums are slow, right? So what he's done is he's changed the rules. So signature sizes are no longer allowed to be over 25 kilobytes, and avatar sizes are no longer allowed to be over 10 kilobytes. The reasoning for this is because the forum's slow, and this will hopefully improve loading time, etc., etc. I think it's a good idea. Have any of you actually had your signatures removed for being the wrong size? I heard he's been quite a Nazi about it.
Yeah,
I've had my signature
removed several times, including quotes from the forums about me owning Spree and Viracta's first post and, you know, whatnot. In other forum news, at school today, I was looking at the forums and got sent to the computer administrator's office and gave me a lecture about why I shouldn't be on forums, yada, yada, yada. So basically, I just mouthed off a lot of bullshit on, I was looking at forums on video game violence. That's why I was posting in the general discussion forum.
Right. Well, that's interesting. You got sent to a teacher to... in trouble for looking on a forum? I don't understand that.
Like a computer administrator, yeah. Anyway, enough said.
Well, that kind of happened to me, but I was in geography and freaking Cinecon, you know, I was like looking on forums and stuff. And he freaking kept on getting teacher to look at my screen. I was freaking on the forums, just like, get off the screen! No! Yeah, it was quite hurtful.
Cinecon's a noob. Reading about the forums now, I know there's been a lot of noob posts at the moment, and I mean, a lot of people are starting to stray away from the forums because of the just stupid, stupid posts that have been going on, like, oh my god, I found Kyle, oh my god, I found Kyle, serious this time, oh my god, would you believe I found Kyle? Not really, I'll post a stupid picture of a bran muffin and stuff, like, that's been going on in the forums. Anyway, I read an interesting post about half an hour ago by Afterburner. And it says, 5 years from now, where do you think it'll be? And I think that's a good topic. I mean, it's quite popular now, but I mean, is it just going to be a passing fancy and, you know, go away into the distance? I mean, Wyman said it'll be remembered but long gone. What do you guys think?
Wyman summed it up pretty good, along with the noob thing. I made two threads myself saying before posting about episode 9, which didn't really stop people, and before posting Oh My God, I Found Kyle, which also didn't really work. It's kind of lame, the fact that people are so ignorant to stop doing that, such noobie things. Pretty much Wyman summed it up good.
Well, if you look at the way Red versus Blue went, they kind of just got bigger and bigger and bigger. So hopefully that's the way Pure Inch goes.
I think that's actually possible that it'll go that way. And the more that it happens, I mean, we've seen that things have obviously gotten pretty bad with the noob push, but as people start realizing that that's not acceptable and people just stop, you know, even paying attention to them, it's going to stop. And I think that the show's really going to hold on strong the way that Red versus Blue went.
Yeah, well, Kyle said in voice chat too that he is aiming for most watched Canadian show, which means he'll have to kind of overtake South Park and whatnot, which is kind of...
He also went on to say that of all the fans of Pureonage, the least number is in Canada.
Yes, he did. What he wants to do is, once he gets that, he wants to do a press release saying, yes, most watched Canadian show, subtitled in 15 languages, and yet no one knows about it there. So, interesting insight.
I don't know. I mean, Red vs. Blue was a start to unite the gaming community, but I honestly believe that Pureonage is the kind of thing that has brought... Like, I mean, it's definitely... I would go out on a limb and I would say right now that it's definitely far more popular than Red vs. Blue current stage. But I mean, I think the plot line will be an integral part to see whether Pureonage stays around or not. I think, the series is starting to come to an end now. 12 episodes for a series. It's all starting to come together now and draw together. I think that when series 2 starts will be the make or break of Pureonage for the future. I will go and say that it would be good, but I mean, I definitely think it will cling on that.
I definitely agree. You shoot Red versus Blue. It was really a first-person shooter exclusive comedy sort of thing, whereas with Pureonage, it's hit on pretty much every genre of game that's out there, and I think that's really going to be another integral part of it being popular and it really carrying on.
I guess only time will tell.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a make or break. We just have to wait and see where the roller coaster goes.
Some gaming news right now. For months and months and months and months, people have been anticipating Half-Life 2 Lost Coast. Now, it finally got released, and although I haven't played it myself, I've heard that it was a piece of wank. Hagios, could you tell us a bit about Half-Life Lost Coast?
Absolutely. Basically, Valve has been playing this up for the last few months, talking about the amount of work that they were doing, which I am not at all trying to belittle, but when it came out, there was a lot of anticipation towards it, and a lot of people were sorely disappointed when they actually played it, because basically what they did is they introduced a new technology that changed the way that they were handling lighting in the engine, which is no doubt very, very cool, and it'll really be a nice thing for the game. But at the end of the story, the game itself was 5 minutes long, and that's really all there is to say about it. There was nothing really great about it.
Well, basically, Valve released it as a deleted scene from the Half-Life 2 platform, really. So that's all they had to do for it.
Well, I've heard that it's more graphically spectacular and obviously not enough content. I mean, it sounds to me like all they've done is made a really in-depth stress test.
Yeah, well, I would have played it, but, you know, my CPU and my RAM are just too low.
Yeah, that was another thing. For those of us who have top-of-the-line machines, we can play it, but they really up the requirements to the point where I've heard of people with X800s and with, you know, some high-dollar Athlon processors who lag in the game and who can't play it because it's so chunky, and it's just, you can't market and you can't really release a game like that and expect people to really appreciate it.
Another thing, which Hagios could verify with this, why is it so laggy and why is it so hard to run?
Well, from all that they've released, best that I can imagine is that they have this new lighting system, which is basically ray tracing most of the lighting that's going on at this point. And that does give and take a lot of CPU, but it seems to me that they probably could have optimized it a lot more than they have. But they were, at this point, I guess, just so rushed to get it out because they played up the hype on it that they didn't bother to make sure that it could be run on, you know, mid-end systems like most people are running.
Well, I mean, I haven't got a chance in hell of running it. I mean, although my computer's not the best, you know, it runs Counter-Strike and it runs Half-Life just. I mean, I would like to play this extra deleted level, but, you know, I can't. I think it's a
not
bit...
Not a chance in hell. Not without, a $1,600 US system. There's no way that you could even hope to.
$1,500 system for a level that's going to take me 5 minutes. Fuck, sounds like a good deal to me, eh?
Hey, good work, Val.
Valve, always helping out the consumer. Bullshit! Alright, well, I'll tell you what is helping out the consumer, and that's the CNC 12-pack. Alright, now that is the coolest shit that I've seen come out all fucking week, I'll tell you that. Sliced Bread has got nothing on this. The Noli, tell us a bit more about it.
Well, basically, Command & Conquer, you know, our good friends, they've released a 12-pack which includes lots and lots of the games of Command & Conquer. Basically, they just brought out a pack to celebrate their 10 years of work, which from their workers 10 years now since Red Alert 1. And yeah, it's really cool.
I'm excited. Personally, I just think they should have waited till next year, May sometime, when Red Alert 3 is coming out, and have a big box set, if you will.
They haven't discounted that that'll happen yet.
Cost the same price, so it'll be a 13-pack. Woo! That's definitely a good deal. I mean, I don't know what they're asking price-wise for that. Could you give us some figures?
$40. Oh, there you go. Link Denoli said before, I'm not sure if that's US, UK, or whatever.
$40 US.
It just said $40 US. Thank you, Hugo.
$40 US, yep.
$40 US for a 12-pack of Command & Conquer. That is a good deal. Now, I know EA is, like, sucking, you know, like, EA is, like, the gay, but I gotta say, that's a pretty impressive deal right there.
You should see what Jeremy thinks about this.
Yeah,
you also get a bonus DVD.
Yeah, that. Ooh!
Which includes plenty of intel on the franchise, 6 videos on features that are planned, and all this other crap.
Cool, so it's pretty much advertising.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait another 6 months, pay the same price, and get the same things again with the Red Alert 3 13-box set. Anyway. Dana, I heard there was a Counter-Strike Source update coming or something. Is this bullshit?
Yeah, well, what really excited me during the week was came out recently, Steam are releasing, or Valve, whatever you want to call them, CS Militia and D-Nuke for the Source engine. There'll be an extended set of models, like 1.6 with the Elite Crew and the Guerrilla Warfare models. Like, you know that expanded part where it's you select the terrorist and you have to select one of the 5 models? That'll be really cool how they do that. Bad if you have bad eyesight, but, you know, it's something that could go either way when Valve does stuff like CS Assault. They try and go all out with the graphics and ends up not being as good as your 1.6 favorite, similar to what happened with the Inferno. Hopefully this will be one of the best things to happen with the Source engine this year, despite back 2, of course.
I reckon the best thing about this update is the skins, because that's what, like, made 1.6 and 1.0.
That was actually one of the things that I missed the most when I started playing CS Source, was having the different models, because playing CS and having everybody look the same just took something out of it.
Yeah.
What do you think about this, Cashmere? Seeing as you have bad eyesight, you won't really be able to tell the models.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. I'll complain when it comes out. Fuck. I mean, my eyesight's not that bad. I just mean, you know, maybe I'm just a noob. I don't know.
You just have something to complain about. Good.
Yeah, now I got a reason to suck.
The other thing that you're going to see with this update is, again, the HDR, which came out with the Lost Coast, which is the thing that's taking up most of the people's CPU. So you're going to see a lot of people who are turning that on, and they're going to be not realizing how much it's going to tax their system. And I think that's going to be something that's actually going to not be very popular, since a lot of these maps, I've heard rumors both ways, but apparently some of them may actually need it to be turned on to play them.
Yeah, well, what it said in the Steam update they gave us, these will be the first maps which will have HDR. Despite what other people say, that the glasses in CS Italy on the hostages have it or whatever. But the Steam update also said it'll only tax your video card and it won't have the same system requirements as Lost Coast. I don't know why, but we'll just have to wait and see if we can run it or not. And then me and Denali both have HDR-compatible video cards, but yeah, do you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Well, I'm not liking that, the fact that it's gonna, like, cram down my PC just to play a fucking map. Like, I mean, come on, most of the time, I'm an Aussie boy, I end up getting stuck playing on international servers, I've got my 450 ping. The last thing I need is more fucking, like, computer lag.
Well, that's what they did with D Inferno. They completely stuffed that up. Like, 1.6, that was, like, one of the best maps around. But then, because of the whole, ooh, let's get graphics over gameplay and put fishing ponds instead of boxes there, they just stuffed it up.
Like, with the new map, is it only going to have the graphics for that one map?
Yeah, it will.
But what's the use of that when every other map's the same?
They're adding in a function where you can add HDR to every type of gameplay, so every map. It's been an optional feature, I believe it is.
Yeah, well, it's been an optional feature for a while, but they still haven't added it until the update, really. We'll see how it comes. You can only differ where to say it'll make everyone go away from Valve and start playing RTS 24/7 or whatever.
I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think it'll just make the hardcore fans have to beef up their system. I don't know. At the end of the day, slicker graphics are good. But also, at the end of the day, PC lag is not. And I mean, not everyone's rich. And not everyone can afford... I can't afford it. I can't afford to go out and buy a new fucking beefy graphics card to run this shit. So, you know... I think when game companies are making and adding like updates like this, I definitely think they need to consider the pricing of the technology it's going to take to run the games they're putting out or the updates they're putting out.
Either that or the distributors of the hardware like ATI or Nvidia, they should maybe give more to the consumer.
Well, that's a heated debate which could go on all night. Anyway, along the lines of games and stuff, Doom, the movie, has come out. I haven't had a chance to actually catch the flick yet, but has anybody here seen it? Could comment on it?
I have. Well, no spoilers involved. I'll say this. You can't watch the movie expecting something serious or even expecting something near the game. If you've played the series, you'll recognize a couple of the monsters, but for people who have really been into the Doom series, it's more of a comedy. If you watch it with that sort of mindset, you can actually enjoy the movie. I've heard a lot of people talking about how it was incredibly suck, but when all is said and done, if you watch it, you know, as a comedy, which it has a rock in it, it may as well be, it really was quite enjoyable. And there are a lot of moments where you will find yourself laughing your head off.
Yeah, I saw the demo of it in an APC magazine. I want to see what Kyle has to say on this, because... with the Final Fantasy movie, he's just all like, I can't see why they can't make a good movie out of a video game concept. Do you think it's one of the best movies on a video game?
Well, to be perfectly honest, movies that are made out of a video game so far have not exactly set the bar very high.
The computer wore tennis shoes!
Mario Brothers. Exactly. But when you think about the other movies that have been made out of games, like Mario Brothers, it's just ridiculous. So this is probably one of the best movies that's come out of a video game so far, and it's pretty good. Like I said, you have to watch it expecting a comedy, and in that regard, they've actually done it a lot of justice.
Have they added the fact that all Doom 3 is running around in corridors searching for doors and whatnot?
They haven't, and I was disappointed to find out that they didn't actually make The Rock learn to change from pistol to the flashlight over and over again.
Honestly, I think it sounds to me like what they've done is they've taken the Doom theme. Like, I mean, I don't want to give any spoilers away for people who haven't watched it, but I mean, where's Satan? I'll just say that, you know? Like, where's Lucifer himself? Oh, knows. Anyway...
Well, I reckon the next big movie from a game will be Max Payne. That's going to be the freaking best movie coming out from a game, I reckon.
There's been rumors of a Halo movie, too.
Dungeon Siege is not coming out. I actually think the Dungeon Siege might actually be able to pull it off. Because I'm thinking, you know... I mean, Space Age kind of games and shit are always going to be a bit far-fetched. Because I think the directors take it a bit too far. I mean, if you're taking something like maybe Dungeon Siege, where it's sort of fantasy, they might take it a little bit... Lord of the Rings style, you know, actually get some decent cinematography.
Absolutely. The one thing that I really want to see, and I am in all seriousness saying this, the one thing that I really want to see in the Dungeon Feet movie is somebody coming up completely randomly and going, OMG, can I have your boots?
Yeah.
Or someone like start like speed hacking or something.
I mean, granted, you don't take the Doom series that seriously anyway. I mean, you know, Mars has just been taken over by hell. That makes sense. Yes. But, I mean, I'll still watch the movie because it's Doom, you know? At the end of the day, I'll still watch it. Anyway, Tech Talk. Nero update? Denner?
What happened recently? Nero 7 came out free of charge due to all the piracy that happened with Nero 6 being on all the P2P programs before it was even released publicly. It just got leaked somehow. Hackers! Weird move for the software today, seeing as there's so much competition with all the Roxio making another package and whatnot. What do you think?
I personally actually paid for Nero 6, you know, before I even started looking on P2P, and then I realized, well, that was a dumb move. So I'm actually really grateful to Nero and the head.de for putting this out and making it so that people can actually use a decent product without having to pay a load of money for it.
I think that it's really a great service to community, and it's I think it's going to cut down on a lot of the piracy that goes on.
Has anyone actually used it yet? Like, I'm downloading it now, but it's only at 96%, so it should be done in about 4 minutes.
I'm downloading it myself, and I'm getting horrible bit rate to it. It's I imagine the site's just getting hammered because free Nero.
Yeah, free Nero. Well, yeah. I don't know. We can give you some more of that on next week's podcast, I guess.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Depends what they have to do with it. Basically, with most free software, like Adaware, they've just bulked it up with a fancy GUI and made people think that it's good. See what happens.
Also, the Nolia. What was all this nonsense that you were telling me about with Sony and, you know, you won't be able to burn their music or something like that? New code?
Well, basically, to all the new CDs that Sony BMG are bringing out, they're coming with a brand of spyware which tracks your computer if you burn their CD or copy it in any way. It sends an attachment to the internet, and yeah.
There will be, I'm 100% sure, like, ways to crack that within the first week that it's come out.
Well, yes, there are patches for this now, and it seems that the WoW Hackers Union have got their butts off and are using this Sony DRM anti-hack, or whatever you call it, and they're using it to hack WoW and get undetected.
Well, that's never a bad thing, hacking World of Warcraft.
Not at all, definitely.
Anyway, Haggers, I'm not up to date with all the techity. I am like the anti-Deloco in so many ways now, it's not funny, it would seem. Anyway, what's this X1800 Crossfire 8Ti kind of good, sort of might want to buy a new graphics card shit all about?
Absolutely not, actually. The X1800 XT has recently come out with promises of the Crossfire to come really soon, they swear. But the stats at a glance just look great. 625 megahertz GPU versus a 430 with the 7800 GTX. 1500 megahertz memory versus 1200 with the 7800 GTX. 16 pixel pipelines, which is really a disappointment, but it seems to be the ATI standard. And it has 512 megs of video memory, which, hey, if you've played Doom 3, you've looked at that ultra setting that says that you can't use it because it uses 500 plus megs of texture memory. But when you actually look at the actual stats for the card, when they compared it to a single 7800 GTX, the 7800 alone, even without SLI turned on, actually manages to break performance in just about every game and every benchmark. And then you look at the price. $600 USD for the new ATI card versus $450 for the 7800 GTX. So, as far as the new ATI card goes, I'd say hold off on it, actually.
$600? Ouch. That is a price tag. That is a fucking price tag. Like, I mean, for me, what am I forking out now? I'm forking out nearly $1,000? That's insane.
Aussie dollars? Yeah, that's about 1,000 Aussie dollars for this card that's actually getting outperformed by a card that's going to cost you somewhere between 7 and 8 Aussie dollars.
Interesting. With the Crossfire, which I read an article on recently, sounds pretty cool the way that you can just get kind of an SLI sort of emulated feeling when you have, for those of you that don't know, it's two cards in the motherboard, but they don't have to be the same like SLI. They just have to have this Crossfire card. Of course, you have to have a Crossfire-enabled motherboard and two Crossfire-enabled video cards. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And now, Peerage Podcast presents the Pod Fact of the Pod Week.
Did you know that if you eat a vitamin C tablet and then you eat prawns or shrimp, you will die within 1 to 2 hours?
How much prawns or shrimp?
Sounds like something curious.
One vitamin C tablet. And if you eat prawns or shrimp, you'll die within 1 to 2 hours.
Sounds like something Heroes Way, Bulletproof, Xeno 101 should try.
Podcasts come and podcasts go, but that's all the time we got for this show. Good night, everybody.